Wednesday, we thank you for a chance to come together and worship. God, we thank you for the rain and new life that you're getting ready to bring forth in this spring season. God, we just worship you now. Jesus, your name.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to I'm not afraid to Thank you.
Just imagine for a moment that woman with her alabaster box, breaking it, pouring it on Jesus' feet. Her heart had been won by His love. Her shame had been removed by His forgiveness. Her hair was her glory. That's what the Bible says. And she took what was her glory and washed His feet with it. What an intimate, sacrificial, uninhibited expression of love to Jesus. Lord, we thank You for that woman. What she did is a memorial to You, to even to this day. Lord, may the capacity of our hearts be enlarged to be like hers. May our willingness to die to ourselves and what others may think, may we be able to cast that aside and give You our very best. Can we sing that just a couple of more times, that refrain, our affection? With that imagery in your mind, can we step into that place of just worshiping Him deep in our hearts out of gratitude?
Our affection, our
thank You for Your forgiveness, Lord. Lord, we pray for our own hearts here tonight and the hearts of our congregation, that when we gather here to worship You, that the sacrifices of our heart and of our praise would be so connected to Your heart that this room would fill with that aroma. That our imaginations would be captured by Your beauty. And our lives would be changed by Your presence. Let's just lift our hands for a moment. Lord Jesus, we pledge our allegiance to You and declare our love for You tonight. Thank You for loving us, forgiving us, coming into our places of shame and building a platform for Your glory to shine, Lord. We thank You for that. We thank You for how You can spin things around that the Satan has meant to destroy people and spin it around and tell the story of Your love. We thank You, Father, for that. We pray that the unfettered power of the gospel would sound over this region from her pulpits, Lord, that the love of the gospel would be carried in the hearts of all Your people. Lord, that the conviction of the Holy Spirit would become so weighty that we would begin to hear those stories as were heard on the Hebride Islands, where lights came on in the middle of the night across the village and people made their way to a place of repentance at altars in the churches. Oh, Lord God, we pray that Your Spirit would so move. Awaken the depths of our heart, Lord. We know we were created for a greater depth of worship. We have a greater capacity to love. We have more courage than we know we have. More faith than we know we have, Lord. Awaken all this within Your bride, oh Lord. May Your bride rise up in this Tennessee valley, Lord, and the light of Your glory shine forth, that those who are bound, Lord, by drugs and alcohol and pornography and idolatry, Lord, that we would hear in the realm of the Spirit the shattering of those idols and the cry of those being delivered. And we would see tear-stained carpets and tear-stained altars in the churches. Lord, that we would hear the jubilation cries of parents whose prodigals have come home to Father's house. Lord, we pray that over our region tonight. We say, Spirit of God, have your way. Kingdom of God, come. Jesus be exalted. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege to gather here tonight. May all the glory be yours. In Jesus' name. Take a moment. Share a greeting with your neighbor. Make each other feel welcome. Thank you for being here on this Wednesday. Thank you so very much. Thank you for being here on this rainy Wednesday evening. I hope you're having a good week. If you're not, better things are coming your way because the path of the just grows brighter and brighter each passing day. Say the best is yet to come. Yeah. Well, we know that's true because Jesus is a-coming, right? Well, tonight, our dear brother Daniel Skelton's going to be ministering the Word, and I think most of you probably know Daniel. Daniel has been here at Grace House for a while now, he and Lauren and their children, and he is finishing up his second year at Karis Bible College, and that's located in Colorado City, Colorado. And he's doing that online and on-campus modules in Birmingham. And he will be, their plans are to move there this summer to finish his last year there on campus. And Daniel has been helping us as an executive assistant here for the last couple of months or so and really helping us get some things in place and some infrastructure in place to help us to be ready for all that good, best stuff that's on the way. And so we are grateful to you, Daniel, and appreciate your heart, your spirit, your love for the Lord, your love for Grace House. And I know we're going to be blessed as you minister tonight. So would you join me in welcoming our brother Daniel Skelton? Come on up. Love you.
Thank you. Love you, too. Well, hey guys, this is such an honor to be sharing with you guys tonight, and it's been a long time coming for me because I actually had a dream in 2019, August 1st, that Pastor Eddie in the dream approached me and was like, hey, would you speak? And I just put that on the back burner because I didn't know when that would ever happen, and the Lord gave me actually some stuff that I'll be sharing tonight that I believe is right on time for where we're headed as a church and as a ministry, not just as the building, but as Pastor Eddie has shared, the Ephesians 4, starting in verse 11, that training, equipping of the saints, and as the bride rises up in our region and expanding out. So I believe that this word ties in to that vision. And so before we get started, I'm just going to pray real quick and we'll get going. So, Lord, I just thank you for tonight, for this body, that we can love one another, exhort one another, edify one another, and comfort one another in your name, Father. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're just speaking through me to what we need, Lord. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name. You can turn your Bibles where you want to, but I'll be in Romans 8. And so before I get to that, though, if you'll just hold your finger there, I had a word for this group of ladies back here during worship. And I'm just going to tell you what I saw. I saw, you guys back there. So let me just make sure. Yeah. You guys. So, but I saw one of you, and I'm not going to get real specific, but I just saw one of you mourning a great loss. And I felt like the Lord wanted me to encourage you that he saw that you didn't blame him, that you pressed forward, and you saw and recognized John 10:10, that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and Jesus came to bring life and life abundantly. So the Lord wanted to just honor you for just keep going and doing what he's called you to do and pressing past that. So I just speak that over you. All right, so in the dream, I had 3 points, and the Lord only gave me 1 point, so he's like, you got to search out the rest of it. But it was three points about distractions. And I don't want to glorify the devil. We're not on demonic eggshells or anything like that. But I do want to talk a little bit briefly about 3 points that are 3 different distractions, but mainly what he's trying to distract us from, okay? As we're doing a lot of things here at this ministry and at this church to, I kind of see it as like, if a school has to have a football team, right? Before players can come and play. They have to have a soccer team before players can come and play. And each one of you have a gift that God's placing you wherever that is. It could be marketplace, starting business, or in business, in teaching, education, politics, wherever that is. God is taking us as a church and taking us to this place where we're training and equipping you in those areas, okay? So be patient. That's all coming, as Pastor Eddie was saying. But these are some points that's going to really help us recognize what's the enemy going to try to distract us to get there, okay? And so Romans 8:29, let's read that real quick, okay? I'm in the New King James Version, but for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed in the image of his Son, that he might be firstborn among many brethren. And what I want to point out there is that our main purpose in this life is to be conformed to the image of Jesus, to manifest Jesus, guys. That's if you don't know what your calling is, start there. If you know what your calling is, keep it there, okay? It's something we have to die to ourselves daily. We have to focus in being conformed in his image daily. And so to be conformed to his image of his Son means yielding your soul to the Holy Spirit that's within you, okay? Each one of you, if you've gotten saved and you accepted Holy Spirit, 1 Thessalonians 5:23 tells us that we are spirit, soul, and body. And see, we have the Holy Spirit indwelling in us. Our soul is not saved. Our soul is the one that has to be sanctified. That's where your will and emotions and your heart is. And that has to submit to the Holy Spirit. And as you do that, you start to conform and bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Joy, peace, love, kindness, gentleness, meekness. You start to become more like Jesus. And that's our goal, guys. Manifest the love of God to one another in this journey together. Okay? And so that's really important. So how further else can we be conformed? Romans 12:2 says that by being transformed by the renewing of your mind. Okay, well, and Pastor already shared on this last Sunday, but Philippians 4:8 talks about things that we should focus on. And Paul there is trying to help us see that our reality has to be what's in heaven, who God is, what he's given us, and how to use it. And that's our reality. That should be our focus, the love of God and what all we have and the access that he, because of his death, burial, and resurrection. And that has to be a focus of ours. But for our minds to be renewed, that has to become a revelation to us. Okay? And we see this with Peter when Jesus said, who do you say I am, Peter? And he goes, well, you're the Son of God. And Jesus tells him, God, no, not man or flesh and blood revealed this to you, but God did. And he wasn't talking about building his church on Peter. He doesn't build his church on us. We're not, without Jesus, we're nothing. But he was talking about the revelation that Peter had, that he is the Son of God. This word and the reality of what God is doing in this earth, that we are salt and light, is the way that we become transformed and renewed in our mind. We have to keep that at the forefront of our mind. And that's why it's so important. Protect yourself. Put boundaries when you're watching the news. I get it. Some of you need to stay updated. I can tell you all that's going on. The Bible tells us, you know, there's rumors of war, and people doing stupid stuff. Okay. And even a few disciples out there. But you've got to stay focused on that. And this is something I have to do in my own life constantly. I have to set up boundaries in what I'm putting into my mind and into my heart, because I can watch the fruit of what I bear in my garden. And this is one way I like to explain this. You can look at your life like a garden. And this is a good way to do a self-examination. If you have bad fruit in your garden, and let me go over kind of what that is. There's a process, okay? So some of us have to start. I've been through a lot of things in my life. I've been in a lot of trouble. And so I get there's a process to come into a new life that God has for you. But if you've been walking with Jesus and you're a Christian, you have to look at your life like a garden. Is there bad fruit in it? Is there stuff missing that should be there? Look at that, because your life is going to produce what's in your heart and your mind, and your words are going to come out, and you have that authority in your life to create that garden. Okay, and so just look at that. What fruit do you bear? And so another point to this is, how do we be conformed? Is through humility. Okay, and this is so important, guys. I've been on a long journey with humility, and I'm sure some of you have. But humility to me, this is my definition, but it's constant recognition of our need and the dependence of God. Guys, God always calls me to do things that I feel so inadequate to do. Does anybody else ever feel that way? Okay, good. I'm not the only one. Ever since I got saved when I was 19, God told me move to Brazil and save kids and sex underground trafficking. I had no clue that even exists. I at the age of 26, he called me to start businesses, and they would be automated and help me fund ministry, and I don't have to work anymore, and I could do ministry. Like, I didn't know how all that would work. I didn't even make it to high school. I couldn't even hardly spell. I'd only typed on a computer twice, and I own a digital marketing agency and do all this stuff. You know, but within myself, I couldn't do any of that. I would still be stuck back there somewhere in a life that God never called me to do. But until I humbled myself and said, I've got to have you, Lord, but whatever you tell me to do, I'm going to do it. And a big part of this is, if you don't feel like God isn't stretching you in an area of your life in a good way, calling you up, calling you to evade the impossible and change the world and be salt in life in your sphere of influence and flowing out of that, then you're not dreaming big enough. You know, so, the other point under humility is that a life that continually declares my sufficiency of God. And this 2 Corinthians 3:5, Paul talks about that. It's God that where your sufficiency comes from. Okay? And then humility is the acknowledgement that apart from Him, we can do nothing, but through our faith and dependence upon Him, we can do the impossible. And that's Philippians and 4:13 and John 15:5. And so we can do the impossible, but it's by faith. And then we have the grace to even have faith to do those things, right? And I'm telling you, as we, for some of you in here, as where we're headed to, it's going to take you to walk by faith and not by sight. I had this earlier during worship too, and I'll go ahead and share this now as it fits in here. But I felt like God was wanting to remind somebody in here that you feel like, because you're despising small beginnings and feeling like you're having to start over, that you're gonna miss what God has for you, because you got to have thankfulness and contentment where you're at, because it's a journey. You see where you're headed, but you've got to learn to just pull back those reins and be content and enjoy the process. Okay, have thankfulness for that. So anyway, a humble person depends on God and agrees with God. So that's really important. You know, if God tells me to do something, I can't say, well, some of us may think, well, we're too old, we're too young, we're not smart enough, we're not educated enough, we're not this or that. Like you're informing God something he doesn't know. Like, excuse me, God, like you're telling me to do this, but I don't know if you know this, but I have these problems. And you know, that's not smart. You know, agree with God and just say, okay, I have this peace about what you're telling me to do. I have the word. I've sought some wisdom from others. It's time to do it and just follow you in that. All right. And then, so a distraction from this point of our main purpose to manifest Jesus to one another, a lot of times it boils down to what's the opposite of humility. It's pride. And also walking in the flesh. I don't mean that in a condemning way. We all can get in the flesh, especially when you're sandpaper people. but you know, still, we have to learn to walk in the Spirit with one another, because we're also going to be doing a lot more stuff together and doing life, and we have small groups, we have all these things. And man, even in our own life, where you work, your business you own, wherever it is, guys, we have to love and manifest Jesus. And that's only going to come through that humility. True humility looks like this. When we are serving, we serve to bless. We don't serve to impress. We don't do our life to try to gain things from others. And if they're not doing what we think, then we're just going to slander them and all these contentions that it can cause. Okay. And guys, I'm not being condemning. I'm not saying that all of us are walking that way. I'm just saying, watch out for that. As you grow in authority, a lot of times what tends to happen, and especially in stature and whatnot, you start to kind of look at people as like, well, you better do what I say. Now, there's some boundaries there. If you're paying somebody or whatever, that's different. But when it comes to people under us and we're over them, we're still serving them. You see, I'm not going to get into this very much, but it reminds Mark 10, starting verse 35 through 45, James and John are like, hey, can we sit at your right hand, your left hand, and trying to get on up there with Jesus' level? And I'm paraphrasing, it doesn't say that. but, you know, they were trying to get to this level, and they were, God, that's fleshly to go, well, I want this position because I'm deciding that, and that's not your decision. As Jesus said, it's not my authority to give that position to you guys. And you know that, and that doesn't come from a good place. We don't need to, this isn't a corporate world where it's competition to get a position or be cool or be up on stage or whatever. None of that stuff really matters anyways, guys. Just do what you're called to do. All right, so point number two, distractions from what we already have, okay? And so what do we really have by a better covenant and having the Holy Spirit? And you'll be surprised y'all know this, but you'll be surprised talking to people what they're trying to reach for, but they already have it. Like, we already have the victory. We already have the authority. You're already anointed. You already have the fruit of the Spirit. Now there's an initial filling of the Holy Spirit, and then you be filled with the Holy Spirit, as Paul talks about in Ephesians, but there's still a place where you still have the Holy Spirit. You still have the fruit of the Spirit. If you don't have faith that you have peace within you by the Holy Spirit, you're just going to be asking for it and waiting for this feeling to take place. And we're not called to go off feelings. We're called to live by faith. And by faith, we can just believe, I have peace. I have gentleness. It doesn't matter who was your dad or where you came from or your past. You have the fruit of the Spirit, but you have to draw on it by faith, okay? Not by works, just by faith. And so then Ephesians 1:3, let's read that real quick. I'm going to read that. Hope this is all right, guys, and you're getting something. All right, Ephesians 1:3. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, I have the New King James Version, but in the King James Version, it says that blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And that word all there in the Greek means pos. And that means each, any, every, the whole, everyone, all things, all. It's all things. All those spiritual blessings. And what this verse is saying that blessed be the Lord God, Father, and Jesus Christ who has blessed us. So that points to a past of there was a point where this happened. And that was through Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. He already blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And that's just an awesome promise that we have just to receive by faith. It's simple, but it's the truth anyhow. So we have all those spiritual blessings. And so the dream, let me get to that real quick. We had, in the dream I had, that when Pastor Eddie asked me to speak, I was at a gas pump and I was pumping gas into my vehicle. And I was just looking around, watching traffic go by and other people pumping their gas and people going in the gas station. Like, I wonder if they're getting a Monster or a Bang or energy drink. But just thinking about all kinds of things. And I'm waiting on my car to be filled up, but it was already full when I looked at the pump. And no telling how long it had been full, but I was waiting around and being distracted by everything else and not realizing that I was already full. And guys, we can tend to do that sometimes. And if you don't understand this revelation of this scripture and that you already have your healing. 1 Peter 2:24 says that by his stripes you were healed. When Jesus died for you, he's already healed you. Okay, you just have to receive it by faith. So if you don't understand that, you will fall apart quicker than a $5 pair of flip-flops. And they will do that because I've had that happen when I was 21 at the mall in Florence. My first time ever wearing flip-flops, too, because my feet looked like shaved down Bigfoot if you just shaved his feet. I was like, I'm going to wear flip-flops. And they fell apart on me. Yeah, right there in the mall. I had to throw them away and walk out barefooted. And that's how God deals with your pride. So that's humility. So anyways, all right. And so that's what happened in the dream, but that was a revelation. Jesus has already provided all that we need, our healing, deliverance, prosperity, the fruit of the Spirit. You already have it. Okay, so through faith in God's word and understanding of how God's power works, we can move past what we're asking for, and we can move past that and walk in what we have and experience the true power of God in our life. It reminds me of Ephesians 3:20, and a lot of people quote this scripture and stop for the really important part of the end of scripture. But it says that Christ, God can do exceedingly abundantly more than you ask or think, according to the power that what? Works in us. Works in you. And so that's where we have to recognize God wants to, He wants to partner with us, okay? Everything He wants to do it through us. But it's according to the power we allow God's power. It comes from God. Deuteronomy 8:18, you have the power to create. God has given you the power to get wealth. Things like that. He's our source. But from that source, when we plug into that, we activate that by faith, we can see the true power of God in our life. It reminds me back when I was had just moved here. I was 20, right before I turned 21. And I was at a time in my life, I was praying all the time and going out on the streets and praying for people. And literally, that's all I did. And I remember telling the Lord, I've not seen a healing like me laying on hands on somebody and seeing them healed. I've never seen that. But I was seeing, you know, Paul teaching on this 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and he's teaching on the gifts and he works all in all. And I was like, man, I want to see this. And so God spoke to me one day as I was waiting for him to do something. And he said, then go get it. And, you know, I'm not saying you need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit or who you pray for or anything like that. But in this context, God was trying to show me the revelation. It's up to you. Get up off that floor. I appreciate the praying and everything. I love you. But go out there and pray for people and you'll see healing. Don't overcomplicate it, you know. But it's that power that works in us. And so distraction for this point is lack of knowledge, wisdom, revelation of God's word and hearing his voice. And you'll be surprised. I mean, you can talk to people about hearing God's voice. And I honestly think a lot of times people feel like they can't hear God's voice because they overcomplicate it. It's not hard, guys. He speaks this subtle, still voice, but it's peace. It's always peace, and it lines up with His Word. And a lot of times, you already have your answer. I remember back 2018, we've been coming here for, I guess, almost a year. And I called Pastor Eddie and Pastor Mickey because I was doing something very risky. Again, God's always doing that with me. But I was stepping away from a very profitable company and was transitioning to a company that was hardly making anything. And it made no sense. Like, all my investor friends and all this was like, you're nuts. Like, why would you do this? But God just kept telling me to do it. And one thing Pastor Eddie and Pastor Mickey kept telling me was, where's your peace? What is your peace saying? That was my answer. I already have my answer. I have peace. Step away. Leave that business behind. And man, I did that, and I'm telling you, this business, the businesses, everything that stemmed from me being obedient to God, I'm so blessed by that. I'm able to go to Bible school. I'm able to do what I'm doing right now here at this church, and it's just a blessing. And that came from just following the Lord like that. But it was that peace that I followed, okay? So guys, if some of you are stuck and just feel like you're stuck in the mud, think back to the time where you had peace and what did you feel at that moment? What was God speaking to you? And you go by that peace, okay? And do it. So point number three, so real quick, let me recap. We have point number one, our main purpose is to manifest Jesus, the love of God to one another and what He has. Point number two, distractions from what we already have. And then our final point number three, and this is distractions from what we are called to do. Okay, so I saved this one for last because I don't ever want us to get so caught up in what we are called to do that we forget who we are. That we forget, you know, one day we're going to have somebody come with a prophetic word that, hey, God misses you. He wanted me to tell you that. No one wants that. You don't want to end up like that, guys. I've done this in business where I did everything I did. I learned from the Lord. I followed the Lord and all that. I'm not some great business person. It's a lot of people, I've got them tricked. But I just followed the Lord and I did what He told me to do. But I never wanted to get away from that place of being tempted by money or tempted to be some controlling boss or because now I have some authority over people and all this crazy stuff we can get distracted with. And that's what can happen if we forget these first two points. Those are our foundation, okay? But being distracted from what we're called to do, what is your destiny and how are you anointed to do it? You know, how do you find it? And it's by spending time with Him and His Word, okay? I spent 2 years, I don't know why it took me so long, okay? I'm a slow learner sometimes, so. It took me about 2 years. I didn't work. Doc, you guys invited us over to your house, me and Kane, but at the time we didn't have a job or anything, and I'm not condoning that. I just wanted to be at the church and worship and learn who I was, and I wasn't leaving until I understood that. I didn't grow up in church. My dad stabbed my mom when I was 7, went to prison, and I ended up, my mom hated God my life, and no disrespect to her. She actually works for church now. It's awesome. But we, you know, went through some stuff. And so I ended up I wasn't going to move until I knew who I was and knew who God was. And I spent time in His Word, and I worshiped Him and learned to hear His voice. I honed in, getting past everything going on in life, my thoughts. Mainly, it's your thoughts that you're warring against, okay? That's spiritual warfare. Paul talks about this in Corinthians. You know, you have to tear down those thoughts. And so that's what I was learning how to do. And so God's calling is a discovery. That's a process. You have to discover it. You don't just decide it. I've never decided, hey, I'm just going to be a business owner. Sounds like a good idea. It sounds horrible to me. But each one of you have something in you. You are pregnant with something that God has for you. And you have to go on a discovery and you'll feel that baby leap. You will feel what's in you. That's it. You know, you'll know. And again, it'll be with that peace. But it's not just something you just decide and just recklessly start doing stuff, unless it's like serving or, you know. But I'm talking about destiny type stuff, you know. And so that's how you discover that. It just takes, you have to trust the Lord in that. All right, and then so let me tell you this real quick. So Proverbs 6, I had this is in 2020, my first year of Bible college, and it's in a church called Life of Faith down in Irondale, which is close to Birmingham. And I was there, and we were sitting in this big room that we usually don't go into. It's massive, and it really tall ceilings. And I was sitting at the desk, and I had my Bible open. We were learning something in Proverbs 5. And I had my Bible open to that, and I was just sitting there, and I was listening to what the instructor was saying on the screen, and all of a sudden, an ant falls on my Bible. And I was like, that's weird. An ant just fell on my Bible. So I look where the ant's crawling, and it's Proverbs chapter 6. And it says, listen how it starts off. Sweet love in Jesus guided me to this. No, he is sweet loving. But it says, pay attention to the ant, you sluggard. So what did I do? Who's that word for, Lord? Like, let me find them. I'll give them that word, because I know it's not for me. And pride again, no. But you know, so so I started, it took me about a month. My wife Lauren remembers this, because I was like, I don't know what that means. How am I, like, I love staying busy. Like, it's awesome. I have to watch myself, have boundaries. I get involved in too much stuff. You know, I can be still with God and everything, but I was just, I do stuff. I couldn't figure that out. So after about a month of meditating and praying, again, I'm slow sometimes, I started to see that my life, what I was doing, it was out of pure motives. God gave me a word to step away from businesses. In 2019, I fully stepped away from my businesses. They were all automated. My employees were blessed, and I stepped away. But 2020, COVID hit. There's nothing to do, you know. I don't know if some of y'all remember that. It may have been really bad for some of you, but you know, I didn't have nothing to do, and I started just like shooting guns and going to the shooting range and going to Bible college, but that wasn't taking a whole lot of my time every day. And so I was in the Word and studying and doing school, but most of the day I wouldn't do anything. And then out of the sake of just helping people, I started getting back into business again. Well, what did God tell me to do? Step away from the businesses. And because I got impatient, and then I was discipling some guys. We'd work out and then have a sweaty Bible study in my garage. I was discipling these guys, two of them ended up starting businesses, and I mentored them and then partnered with them, and I tried to help one. I was like, look, I'll build some houses and you can oversee them, and I'll use that money to build some other little tiny homes for single moms, and we just had this whole strategy. And this whole time it's like, good idea, but it was just decisions I was making. And God was saying, you're not a slugger because you're lazy in folding of hands. You're a slugger because you're lazy and not doing what I've called you to do. You're filling your schedule with things that I haven't told you to. And that's being lazy in the will of God. And so he said in a loving way, I promise. But, you know, so I had to see that and be real with myself. And boy, I quit all that stuff. I finished the house I was building, and God bless all that. It wasn't like, you know, he brought the hammer down. He's not chasing us down trying to, you know. I had grace to God that I repented and moved on and not going back to that. And so I'm trying to stay on track with him. And so that was something that he was showing me that. So the distraction from this, you know, it's a place of being is why we do, okay? I knew what I was supposed to do. I had that word, but I got caught up in all these other things, even in the name of blessing people and helping people. And I found myself off track from the will of God and tied up in the things that it wasn't easy to just pull away from all of it. It took me a while. I sowed that into my life, saw the fruit of it, and said, this is not the fruit God told me to bear. I need to start sowing my way back out of it and clean up my garden some. So the distraction is not laying down your own will. And, you know, you see this with Moses. It reminds me of that. You know, he started, you know, in Acts chapter 7, Stephen talks about how Moses, you know, started picking off the Egyptians one by one, killing them, how he fly. You know, but he had this, he knew what he was called to do, but he wanted to do it his way. And though, so he had to go get his backside of the desert degree, his BSD degree, for a while to learn to lay down his own will. And then he comes out and he's got his rod, and God tells him to throw it down. What did that rod represent? His ministry, his way. And it turned into a snake, something that could have been deadly to him, doing it his way. And guys, we have to be aware of that. When you start doing what you're called to do, it's from a place of being with Him, manifesting Him, being conformed to Him, knowing what you have, and then you can walk out the calling on your life. But until we discover that, help each other stay on that foundation and disciple one another, love one another, and that's what we're doing. That's what we're doing more of. Man, I'm so excited for what all is going on here and what we're headed towards. It's awesome. So, conclusion. Go on this journey of discovery with God, but don't let these things of the world distract you. It's a balance. Your family's not a distraction. I'm not saying that. It should do everything in decency and order. And Paul was talking about the move of the Spirit there in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, but it still applies on how order is important in our life to have and set up boundaries. Don't get so caught up in things of the world that you forget that there are spiritual blessings for you to have. There's a calling on your life. Maybe, you know, I don't know what that is for you, but maybe it's whatever you're called to do in this earth. Maybe it's at a church. Maybe it's a gift you have. You know, maybe it's here. I don't know that for you. That's a discovery for you. But don't let the things of this world get you caught up in all that, okay, and get you away from it. Because that's what the enemy wants to use. All right, and then I had one more word, and then we'll pray. Is it Isaiah? Okay, do you mind standing up real quick? I just want to encourage you something I saw. The Lord showed me during worship there was a train that had been traveling for a long time on tracks. I felt like that train represented you, and then there was a Y in the tracks, and you were switching up the way you were headed, and it was the Lord, and so. That's it. That's what I saw. So I'm going to leave it there. I don't want to add to that. Anyway, so, and if you guys will all stand, I'm going to pray over you. And, we'll go from there. Those of you who know me, I love activations. Simply put, activations are seeing the chicken line in front of you that your flesh does not want to cross. And so I call that the chicken line. And we all can have one. But some of you, I feel like we're going to pray, but I feel like the Lord wanted me to do this activation, but I wanted to share that with you about the chicken line, because some people haven't experienced what God's peace feels like, because their natural part of their mind wants to figure that out. They overcomplicate it, okay? So I'm just going to tell you, just receive that, okay? The flesh and the spirit war against each other, but we have the spirit. We walk by the spirit, and we submit to that. So what I'm going to do is just pray peace over us. I'd like for us all just to reach out your hands. Let's receive. And each one of us, by faith, we're just going to access peace. And some of you that have some things going on in your life, forget those things. Lay them down. And focus on the love of God and faith in His peace. And so right now, Father, I just thank You for Your peace that You promised that surrounds us as we focus on good things. And Father, we say Your love is good and You are good. Thank You for Your peace, God. I feel like some of you even need to be reminded what that peace feels like. So Lord, I just thank You for that. Thank You for Your peace and guidance. Thank You that we are submitted and being led by the Holy Spirit in our lives. And thank You for that, God, that it's not complicated, it's simple, and we just receive. Thank You for tonight, thank You for Your word, and bless everyone here in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, guys. You want to say anything?
Wasn't that a good word? The good, solid, anchored in the Word, and the power of testimony in the midst of it. So, amen. Thank you, brother. Thank you all for being here tonight. If there's any of you who may be in need of prayer, as always, this altar area is open. There will be some of us up here, happy to pray with you. And I encourage you to come back with us on Sunday morning, 9 o'clock, and at 10:30 a.m. Invite a friend to come. We've been called to be witnesses unto Him, and that can take a lot of form and shape. But one way we can witness is to say, I'm being blessed and growing in the Lord. I'd like for you to go with me one Sunday. And most of us have some friends or neighbors who are unchurched. Ask the Holy Spirit to direct you, who you need to touch, who you need to call. Amen? Well, Father, thank you for this good word tonight. Thank you for the worship, your presence. Thank you, Lord, for reminding us tonight of how easily we can become distracted and derailed from just those major, major truths about our life. Lord, help us to be more like you. You said you're doing that. That's part of the destiny you have for us. It is the destiny to become like Jesus. Lord, thank you for all those promises that often we're not claiming, we're not accessing, we're not declaring. Help us not to be distracted from the power available to us through those. And Lord, thank you for your unique call, your specific plans for each of us. And tonight, Lord, we've been reminded that we can easily get off track regarding that too. Sort of like a good chiropractor will, just align us, realign us tonight. Get everything aligned, Lord, help us. So that we're on track, our eyes in the right place, our hearts in the right place, and we're found at the right place doing what you've called us to do. And Lord, in addition to what Daniel prayed, we just speak to those distractions, those bees that buzz around us, those circumstances that shout at us, all those things. And we just say, away with you. We anchor ourselves in you, Lord Jesus. And so, in the name of Jesus tonight, be blessed, be a witness, and let's go change the world. Thanks for being here.